Hi, today is October 8th, 2023. This is Mobius Podcast 478. I'm Todd Agasa-Ward. I'm a good friend with Dr. John Westfall. And today we've got a really great and somewhat large panel in alphabetical order, Steve Hughes, Sven Johansson, and Don Sorsinelli. And mostly we're going to be talking about the Google event last week. I think it was the 4th. And see what my friends here have to say about it. I have a few thoughts myself. But before we do it, one thing I wanted to mention is that one of my rants to John was that I could not get Apple News audio on my iPad, which has much better speakers than my iPhone. If I just kind of stand it up so I want to listen without any earbuds in, especially since my AirPods Pro fall out of my ears. Well, a few days ago, I learned that Apple News Plus still doesn't have audio in its iPad version, but the podcast app, the updated podcast app for iPadOS 17, can connect the subscriptions from Apple Music, spoken words, documentary type things on Apple Music, and some of the audio feeds on Apple News. So I kind of can do it. And so apparently it found, I don't subscribe to any of these shows on Apple Music, but it says I've got 48 shows connected to Apple Music and 4 on Apple News. So I'm going to go investigate those later. And at least I can just plop an iPad with pretty nice speakers on and, able to get things done. Alrighty. So aside from that, let's see. Is there anything else I want to mention? Okay.
I just want to say, Todd, that
yes, sir.
Apple finally found a way to make some value to the podcast app. since just about everything else the podcast app is supposed to do as a podcasting app, it doesn't really do. I still don't understand, after existing for how long it's been in existence, that I still wrestle with it and keep on giving up.
Works a lot better than Google Podcasts.
Oh, well, Google Podcasts works really well. It just isn't going to be there anymore.
Next year.
Yeah.
And it does lead to an interesting discussion of what's better, a mediocre app that exists for a long period of time or an app that worked well that disappears because it's owned by Google.
I've turned around and used neither of the two and went to a third thing, which is just to find an app that I've trusted and relied upon for podcasting for a long period of time. It's so frustrating when apps, the basic things you'd expect an app to do, especially when it's been around more than a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, and that's, to a certain extent, that's part of Google Podcasts too.
The Apple Podcast app just started this week with iOS 17, remembering where I was on different devices. I could never trust that before, and now it seems like it might have it. Yeah.
That's like the best
tiny thing. Like being able to start it on one device and finish it on another, or start it on my watch during a jog and then resume it on my iPhone. Yeah, kind of nice.
It's like a Lego.
I did there 5 years ago.
I just love having the ability to queue something, but not to be able to clearly see what's in my queue.
Yes.
That one, the first time I came across that, I'm like, there's somebody laughing somewhere out at Apple headquarters over that.
My favorite is when you reorder your podcasts on a list and want to play through, and then it plays 2 seconds of one, you switch to another, and it marks that first one completely red. So it just disappears. Yes, I listened to 2 seconds of the hour and a half, and that's enough for me. I don't really need to hear that one ever again, Apple.
Well, you just want a summary, right? At least.
Yeah. I like it randomly, occasionally going back to podcasts that I know were marked as played. I listened to them, they were marked as played, yet suddenly it starts playing again. And I'm going, swear I heard this before. I'm not that old.
I'll just help you reinforce that memory. You know, it's a feature, not a bug. It helps you summarize things up, I guess.
It's called deja vu mode.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Cass.
Yeah, you would think they'd get it right. And considering podcast is, sort of named after the old iPod, but still. Anywho, so last week, October 4th, Google had their Made by Google event, and they announced, I think to nobody's surprise, I don't think there are any surprises, because their hardware leaks are, pretty solid leaks. They're not really good at keeping secrets.
Half of them are leaked by Google.
At this point, in photos,
they're leaking their own stuff. I think they call that public relations.
Although my Pixel tablet received the OS for Android OS 14 update that day, 10.4, my Pixel 7a, you know, which is a relatively new phone, you know, it's still supported. It was released earlier this year. It still hasn't gotten Android OS 14. Swen, did your Pixel Fold get a OS 14 yet?
I'll tell you what, that's what I'm on right now. So let me look. See, I think it did. Now let's see where I am.
Okay, don't update it.
You
can run the beta.
Did we lose Swen?
He must have gone to look.
I hope we didn't lose him. One of the things we learned last week, it's not supposed to be.
Can you hear me now?
John got bumped. Yep, we can hear you fine.
Okay, that's because I wasn't on the screen. So that's an interesting thing.
Yeah. When you looked away from the screen, it put it in the background. I think that's part of Android's new memory management.
It's a feature.
Anyhow,
I know I have on my Pixel 6, I have it, but that's because I cheat. I for ages, so I've had it for a while.
Yeah,
I'm still on 13. My 7.
Yeah, I'm on
4. Annoyed.
I'm there, but I was running the beta anyway, so. But it is an interesting thing that on a podcast app here, if I background it, I'm gone.
Yeah. Well, you're not gone, right? You just need to...
No, not gone. I just
foreground.
Bring it back foreground and it's there, but I can't talk on it.
Yeah.
Foreground.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. Okay.
Let me try something.
All right. That's good to know. It's good to know you're doing it. So you're coming in through Chrome on your Pixel Fold? You sound good, by the way.
Yeah. Let me try something here. Kind of strange. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you fine.
Okay.
You are still here.
I split screened it and works okay.
Ah, okay. So we did learn something. Okay. So going back to the, I just got a text message from my wife about something. Going back to the Made by Google event. So after, I guess we can talk about the hardware first if anybody wants to. You know, basically they announced, I mean, again, no surprises, right? Pixel 8, Pixel 8 Pro, Pixel Watch 2, some enhancements to the existing Pixel Buds Pro, and Fitbit Charge 6. Fitbit is owned by Fitbit is owned by Google for the last couple of years now. The real interesting stuff to me is the software enhancements, many of which I will never be able to use, as well as Assistant with Bard, which is not available yet. So first, is anybody going to buy any new hardware? I am not. I'm bought out this year. Bought way too much junk.
Yeah.
Well, it does come with the benefit of being supported for 7 years, though.
So they claim.
Yeah, let's talk about that. We really think there's a chance that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, just absolutely. But you're not going to get anything.
What do you mean, Swen?
Until it gets killed by
Google. Right.
Well, no, it's right now. If you get a Pixel 8 Pro, you get a whole bunch of features and stuff that you don't get on a Pixel 8 already. So there's certainly hardware-dependent stuff. So next year when Pixel 9 comes out, your Pixel 8 Pro is not going to get everything. So,
I think this is going to go the way of Pixel Pass, where, you know, a month and a half before the first new refresh, it just goes away. So.
Yeah.
But come on, guys. So I think that you'll cross the board. As I look at my Apple Watch 4 and know that it could still run Watch OS 10, but I recognize the fact that
mine did not.
The question, in all fairness, is what do they mean by 7 years of support? Will they just be doing security patches after 3 years, or you're not getting
features if you can get it?
Good. Yes. You stop at Android 16, but we'll keep pushing security patches to you.
I think is fine, because somebody has still got, you know, their Pixel, whatever it is, after 5, 6, 7 years. Those aren't the people that are interested in upgraded features and stuff. They're the people that keep their phone to do what it does, and if it keeps doing it, they're happy.
And more importantly,
so that's fine.
Yeah, if it keeps doing it, and even though they don't care, if it keeps being secure, that's the most
right. Secure is the future. Yeah. Like how many devices
and lasts more than a couple hours. That'd be good.
what I see as a bigger problem, regardless of this particular thing, is that nobody trusts Google to do any of this. You know, anytime Google has a time horizon more than even
1 year,
six months.
Yeah, 6 month time horizon. It's like, sure, Google, I'll believe it when I see it. And that's just not a great feeling if you do want to buy into an ecosystem that you really have to be okay with what it is on day one and assume that is all it will ever be.
True. I mean, look at the Fitbit. Like, how long did it take for them since they acquired them for their IP to finally be fully released and implemented for their Android Wear?
Yeah. And they ruined my Fitbit experience. when I upgraded from a Fitbit 4 Charge 4 to Charge 5 the other year, I actually lost features.
That's the cool way.
Yeah. What can we kill?
Certainly features you nobody needed.
Well, I needed it. Well, I'm not needed, but I like
offering
it.
Must kill something.
Yeah.
Well, they got some cool new hardware, though, I guess.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, yeah, I like, in the Pixel, I mean, one of the things that doesn't get too much highlight is the temperature sensor. I mean, that's a pretty cool thing, I think.
I agree. I like that, except the fact it doesn't do human temperatures because it hasn't passed, you know, FDA or whatever.
Yeah, but they have, like, different modes, I think, they have, like, food, water, metal, glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was reading an article on that, and besides the, you know, the FDA verification or certification of it, you know, it'll absolutely read your forehead temperature, but it won't adjust it for what it's supposed to be.
Right.
I guess surface temperature things that I can set for either surface or forehead, and I can
read your
forehead.
You
see, enough four degrees off, you know, almost dead. It's a lot lower.
Let's say about a remote Bluetooth probe or something like that.
But yeah, I find temperature sensors very handy for a whole bunch of things. Back when before I retired, you know, just I used to carry an IR thermometer just to take a look at, you know, server heat and stuff. Walk around.
Why is my Pixel overheating?
Oh, and yeah, my Pixel 7a does overheat, by the way. I've been doing a couple of in-person podcasts since I got my wireless lav mics with a USB-C interface. And after about 20 minutes, the Pixel 7a says, basically it goes into like a thermal shutdown. Well, which, you know, keeps the podcast short, I guess. But I'm going to do another test tomorrow with a friend. And I'm going to use an iPhone or an iPad mini this time to see if it has overheating problems too. Same lav mic, just has a USB-C to Lightning adapter. So we'll see how it works. And the ambient temperature in where I am is still in the low 80s midday, so it's still pretty warm. Unlike, who was it? Don, did you say you're getting kind of early fall weather this year?
Well, no, it's just that we went from summer straight to like mid-fall.
Almost. That's New England.
Yeah. It's been a roller coaster. We were like a back up into the 80s here in the Northeast, and we just had finally a front come through. We had gotten a touch of cooler, then it went back up again. Now we bottomed out. We're not getting out of the 50s for highs for like a good portion of this coming week. So, and we're going to see some of the first frost probably in parts of New England too. So yeah, we like I said, it can't make up its mind. But you know, I've still got trees that have that look like it's summertime. There's like been no leaf change yet in color, and we're into October, and I'm just waiting for like all of them to fall at once.
Yeah.
Well, you know what they say, weather is temperamental and mercurial, right?
But yeah, the temperature sensor, I've always wanted a temperature sensor in my earbuds, whether it's AirPods Pro or whatever. Especially during the pandemic, I thought, oh, that'd be a great way to know your temperature all the time.
Yeah, some earbuds do that, and they also do SpO2 as well, too. Look at your...
Which ones?
There were some other ones I had from a Kickstarter measure your internal ear temperature and also your SpO2.
Oh, that is cool. That is cool. Yeah, I've got my SpO2 monitored by my Fitbit. Does the Apple Watch do that too? I don't remember. But
Apple Watch does. Actually.
Yeah, I think the Fitbit only does it when you're sleeping, though.
If I remember correctly, that was, at least it was a while back, I remember.
Yeah.
That it was only as part of sleep monitoring.
So Pixel Watch 2, speaking of Fitbit, is, you know, as I think Steve mentioned, is adopting some of the Fitbit features. And Pixel Bud Pro, I guess the only thing, it's some new features, including a Chromebook app, you know, if you're a Chromebook user and would use it with Pixel Buds. And then
I don't think there's been a change. There's not actually, Pixel Buds new ones coming out. They're just going to update
right. the stuff. They're the old Buds with some new features.
Yeah. And which is what I'm using right now.
Yeah. And Fitbit Charge 6, I don't even know what's new with it, and I don't care because I'm really mad at Fitbit and Google. But they did update. I am mad about their Fitbit app update, because even though it fixed their sync problems, which were horrendous prior to the update, it was maybe 1 out of 10 times it would actually do it on, you know, in a reasonable way. It kind of reminded me of Active Sync from, you know, Windows CE. But the battery charge info is buried on the homepage, and the white space is too much. And yes, I can see the battery charge on the Fitbit itself, but it is so tiny. I need to use a magnifying glass just to see what the battery charge is. So I, this, like I said to John over the last couple of months, I think this was my last Fitbit. I haven't used it since, I think, 2010 or maybe even earlier for the very first one. So all the interesting stuff to me, I don't know if you guys agree, that's what I wanted to ask you, was all the, well, like I said, the software I'm never going to be able to see because it requires a Tensor G3. And some of it's only on the 8 Pro, even though the Pixel 8 Amateur has a G3.
But the Pixel 8 can sign a name, image, and likeness agreement and make a lot of money, you know, just like the college players can. They can go NIL. There's also a transfer portal for the Pixel 8 to turn it into a Pixel 8 Pro.
I don't know, you know, I think there might, you might cross a line, they might lose eligibility, you know, it's really complicated.
I will give credit there. The, you know, and it's the last, it's not just the Pixel 8. The last couple of iterations of the Pixel, I've enjoyed working with the camera and its features. You know, and I think that they've done a very good job with it. They make it a highlight. But I mean, outside of that, especially if you're a Pixel 7, you know, not necessarily 7A, but I know if you're 7 or even if you're 6, is it that compelling to move to the 8, especially when they're pretty much treating trade-ins for Pixels to the new Pixel as second-class citizens? You know, is it worth doing that? I don't know.
Treating your rock, you get a better value out of it?
I went and looked, and it was funny because, you know, I've got a couple of phones, and I was like, not only have my Pixel 6, which I knew what I went and saw what the trade-in price was, but then I said, oh, look at this old iPhone XR. Let's see. Well, this old iPhone XR actually has got a higher trade-in value than my Pixel 6, which is significantly newer than my XR.
So I'm usually finding like trade-in deals.
Have you seen that? Yeah, but I sell my soul to the carrier.
Yeah, same. I just did that too.
Yeah, and after...
But, you know, pretty much anything you trade in at anywhere, whether it's AT&T, T-Mobile, or Verizon, you'll get $1,000 out of it. You know,
They do a much better job of that. But it's an interesting, speaking of that, I can speak to my most recent interaction with the Google Store experience was my last interaction with the Google Store experience based on what happened. And it was actually my wife, who is now the owner of an iPhone 14 Plus, was Pro. Going to upgrade to a Pixel 7. And we ordered it online with the trade-in, for she had a 5A. So we did the trade-in. And a couple of days later, her Pixel 7 shipped. And the box arrived, and inside was a package of Pixel Buds. And it was a Pixel 7 box. So somebody in a warehouse changed something and knew what they were doing. That led to a return process that almost had me like getting on a plane and going somewhere. Because they were like, I went through, I kept transcripts from my support chats because I knew this was going to happen. They're like, you're going to be charged until that's returned, and I'm like, understand, it's not a phone I'm returning, it's Pixel Buds. Don't you know? I sent it back, and it gets to the warehouse, and they're like, oh, sorry, you're going to have to pay for the phone because you sent back Buds.
Oh, my golly.
Well, I turned around and said, you need to open up this support case, look at this transcript, which I am sending you a copy of because I can't fill all the transcripts to understand. And for all the hassles, it still went back and forth. I lost pretty much a day.
Just call you
at the end of the process, they're like, oh, we're so sorry. We feel so bad. Here's a $20 Pixel Store credit.
Oh, geez.
Which I wanted to print out a hard copy, turn it sideways, and shove it someplace.
I thought they were going to give you a free pair of Pixel Buds.
That's
I mean, that would have been appropriate.
We'll give you another pair of Pixel Buds.
So I turned around and I said to my wife, I think it's time you will deal with this. And the other thing, everybody else in the family has been using iPhones. You know, I still have my Pixel 6 that I use for testing and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so I turned around, I'm like, come on. And so we went to, we're T-Mobile, and we've been with them since they became T-Mobile for voice stream. So like you said, sent the trade-in value and everything else, it was, she's now an iPhone user. So yeah, that's the last time I will deal. Even if it's, I do anything with Google, it will not be through the store after that experience.
Sigh. Yeah. Yikes. It's not a good experience for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But, right. Well, it's okay. Cheaper.
It's cheaper than an iPhone.
Yeah, that's one thing. Yep.
It's like, what, $699 for the Pro E Pro, and then it's like $1,150 for the Pro Max,
yeah,
for the iPhone. And you get way brighter screen. I think it's like, what, 2,400 nits?
Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing. And it has a Class 3 face unlock now, too. So someone unlocks your phone, they get it down into your bank accounts.
Yeah. Am I the only person that anytime anybody talks about, like, and I go back to the Apple event where we heard about nits so many times, the only thing I could think is stop nitpicking?
Yeah.
That's exactly what came. After about the fourth reference to nits, I'm like, no, you're just nitpicking. I don't know. As a unit of measurement, we got to find a new one.
Well, you know. There are other worse measurements, like you know, a murder of crows, if I recall correctly. But
was that nits like from Latin? Is that like a Latin word?
Like lumen or something? I don't know.
Shine. I think it's a shine. I don't know, my Latin's really old, so
my Latin's non-existent.
Everyone's is pretty old, Steve.
I know, it's a dead language. I know.
So of the new things that are I guess G3 enabled, so you can do it on hardware, video boost, improved night sight, audio magic eraser, which I find interesting, best take on the Pro only, right? So it'll take a bunch of shots and then pick out the best one, and a 10x zoom. The one I wanted to ask you guys about was Magic Editor. Have you guys looked at that? And I have some problems with it. I get it. I understand why it's desirable, but I am a little.
It looks really quirky. Even with the demo they did, I was like, "What?" It looks really
quirky.
I don't know.
I think Todd's afraid he could be removed from somebody's life completely and all.
I was there. Really.
Oh,
and the word thinking about it, I could see somebody say, you know, after a bad breakup. going to remove all references, like the old days of cutting out a person from
cutting a photo now.
Are you just going to remove them with Magic Editor?
A much cleaner solution, literally.
Yep.
What do you guys think, though? I mean, I get it, but on the other hand, it's creating a false memory.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not cool stuff. Yeah. If it did it like a lot better, you could apply your own filters like you do in like any of the Adobe products and save it. That'd be nice to do rather than using Google's AI. I mean, the Pro camera now has some actually camera controls that are kind of nice. They now have like a shutter speed, aperture, and ISO.
Yeah.
No more Google robot taking over, telling you what you think your picture should look like. And I think that
now we know
they have that. Yeah. And they have that new Zoom Enhance, I think, that looks really, really cool.
Yes.
Those blurry pixels and makes them really sharp. I think
yeah.
that's huge. I mean, they could apply it to like other stuff like medical applications. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought about doing
that stuff the they've been doing on
24 where they were doing crazy stuff. They could take a photo that obviously there's no way you could blow it up and make it clear. And
yeah.
Oh, come on.
Hey, I mean, security can't read a license. Would love to have that feature.
Yeah. Read a license plate across the street from my Ring camera.
So what do you think? Is it? I mean, obviously it's interesting. I'll grant it that. I just and you know, if you're going to modify something just for the sake of modifying something, fine. But you're creating a false memory. You know, somebody looks at it 10 years later and nobody's there to explain. It's just, well, that's not really the way it was. You know, whatever.
Is there like EXIF data so it can roll back?
That's a good question. I wonder.
I would.
I mean, you could is say there much original. Of a philosophy? Is there much of a philosophical difference between using that versus using Photoshop to edit photos to the way you want? I guess that's the question. I mean, it's easier to do it.
Yeah. It's the same thing. It's just that it makes it, there's no barriers to entry anymore.
Yeah. I mean, so that's why I think it's not so much that it's a, to me, it's the philosophical isn't on Magic Editor. The philosophical is, should you be changing and erasing people from your memory? You know,
yeah,
erasing things from your memories in general.
It strikes me that the Apple mindset is you are existing in a world where you want to cherish your memories as beautifully as possible. And the Google mindset is you're just going to change those memories to be what you wanted because you were miserable at the time and now we're missing that.
On retrospect. Oh, isn't that like what Snapchat and Instagram trying to do already?
John, where did the bad Google hurt you? How did the
I'm just sitting here synthesizing the psychological ramifications of Google's belief that you should be able to retroactively edit your whole life, thinking, yeah, I guess if you had a really bad experience at the time, that would be really useful. But if your experience was good, then maybe you're okay with any imperfections. So
since we're using it, we're not talking about you, Adobe. Gee, Todd, where did this podcast episode go?
I mean, oh, well, cut out some of me last week, so
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, that was fun. And it was
the audio. That's what the audio Magic Eraser is for.
Yeah. I got confirmation how audio is Adobe's podcasting that wasn't supposed to happen.
You're asking me who hurt me, Don. I've had a lot of tech hurt me.
That's how it always starts.
Come on, computers have tried to kill me at least 3 times. So I don't think they've held off their war with me. They're just doing it in more covert ways at this point.
All right. Well, anyway, that's my thought. It's basically it's lowered the barrier of entry to changing everything. Whereas, you know, if you're using Photoshop with some other tool, you know, Affinity, whatever, you're usually doing it for a reason. You know, you're modifying it because you're doing an ad campaign or you just want it to look better or whatever, but to just kind of willy-nilly change all kinds of photos.
You round over your memory that you changed it. Point about that, because I do use my camera roll quite a bit to remember what was going on that day, when it was, who was there.
Right.
Stuff like that. So, yeah, and I know that I didn't go back and do a bunch of complex editing because I'm too lazy to do that. So the camera roll should be pretty accurate. But you're right. As the barrier gets lower, if people are using their camera rolls as to help their memory of what actually happened, it could get pretty dicey. Yeah.
Well, on what I want to cases, I think, you know, there's, you know, if you use it judiciously, you know, you're doing a wedding at a beach and the bum wanders through the pictures, you can get rid of that's that. I think that's reasonable. I guess it depends on what you're doing with it and why.
Yeah. Well, what if you later find out that the bum wandering through your beach was a long lost rich uncle who later gave you a lot of money?
You do the undo button.
Yeah.
You pull out the original.
Well, but there's no right answer. It's just opinions. I just wanted to hear yours. It's bothering me a bit. Even though, you know, would I have used it? I don't know. You know, but it you know, one of the examples they gave during the keynote or whatever was they showed that, you know, there was a group shot at the beach, which I think somebody just mentioned. Group shot at the beach, and somebody was kind of way off on one side and everybody else on the other side. There may have been a reason that one guy was He might have been ticked off at everybody or vice versa. Yeah. And that's really the memory of that shot, is that, hey, we're all over here. And, you know, old Bob, he was over there because we were ticked off at him.
Well, the other thing that I'm just wondering about, too, because since everything is going to the cloud, too, what's going to happen with, like, your rights to that original image? Do you just sign your life away and it all goes? Same thing with, like, Video Boost. That's, like, their new process now. They're processing everything into the cloud and they edit the frame. Yeah. Like you're talking about, like, Adobe does this, too. And so they use this computography and they're smart, so you get a better video when it comes back down to using. But where does that original stuff go? Does it just go away? Or is, because it doesn't reside left on your phone, does it get deleted off of it and replaced back? Like you get your Synaptic memory to replace, like edited Matrix style? What is it?
Yeah. And the other question for me, by the way, is since, you know, I'm not going to get an 8 or 8 Pro, am I going to get any of these features in Google Photos? As a, you know, Google One subscriber or some other thing. Because if you're a Google, you subscribe to Google One, which gives you a bunch of things like a VPN and additional Google Drive space. One of the other benefits is that you get enhancements in Google Photos to do things like, you know, modify color a little bit in more ways than you can normally at Google Photos. So I wonder if we're going to get some of this at least, Magic Editor or maybe not Best Take, although that's possible if you do Burst. You know, could it do that? Because if you know, let's say you have Burst mode on your phone and it takes, you know, I don't know, 10 photos. And then the Best Take, did you guys all see how Best Take works? That is kind of amazing, by the way. And, you know, one person has the eyes closed and the rest don't. But in another photo, the other person doesn't have his or her eyes open. And so it inserts that head into that photo. You know, that alters the memory too, but at least it's a good photo.
So it's okay to alter
having relative better.
Yeah.
Makes you look like a better photographer.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if it helps me personally, then it's good. You know, but I'm just wondering if we're going to ever get that for, you know, those of us who don't buy the 8 or 8 Pro. The other things
I could
improve night sight.
There are things like Magic Eraser, I think, that even works in Google Photos on an iPhone.
Yeah, yeah. If you're a Google,
we've done stuff like that before.
Yeah.
I think you're gonna see. I think you're right that some of those they may not immediately show up, but things that could obviously be done through the cloud in a browser. It wouldn't surprise me if they trickle down. Like it's already, like you said, we've already seen some of that. It's just that obviously for the marketability, it's let's get it available on the phone at this level, and then eventually we can turn it around to. It get available, you know, through Google Photos in the cloud, you know, through, I don't see any reason why.
And sell to you as a service.
Yeah.
That's great market.
Yep.
And
FaceSwap, I think.
Yeah, FaceSwap, that's what it is.
Wasn't that the movie with Travolta and Nick Cage?
Face Off.
Oh, it's, Face but off. They swap faces, so that's.
But they swap faces. Yeah. I actually enjoyed that movie. And I posted the what is this called, the etymological origin of the word nit, and it is from the Latin word which means to shine. So Steve was right, as always.
I wonder if they could go even farther on this, on the, you know, face swap thing, where you could Bob's face on Diane. And
well, it's taking the best shot of what you got of a sequence of photos. So you could use Magic Editor, I'm guessing, to do that.
You probably could too.
Yeah. Or, you know, like you said, Adobe Photoshop. That could be funny. Okay, well, as I'm still kind of stewing not having gotten my Android OS 14 update. And, Don posted some trade-in values. You know, I have a Pixel 4a that I tried to trade in for my 7a. And they offered like $79, which is, you know, fine. It's an old phone. But then when I tried to apply it, it wouldn't let me order the 7a. So I just had to buy it at regular price, which is, you know, okay. But it would have been nice to be able to trade it in. But yeah, going back to your Apple Store.
Yeah, it was funny because I just decided. I said, "Oh, let me take a look," you know. And it was funny because the drop downs there on the trade in. I said, "Oh, let me see what my Pixel 6 would be." And then I recognized. I'm like, "Oh, geez, I wonder what they have listed for iPhones." And there was the old XR. And then when it came up at a higher trade in value, I'm like, "Okay,
yeah,
that's interesting."
Good trade-in values to me, by the way.
Yeah, as Ben mentioned earlier, when my wife, I think they were willing to give her for the 7, her old 5A, Google wasn't going to give her much of anything. And by comparison, T-Mobile gave her like a ridiculously overvalued traded value.
Kind of amazing.
To get you to get it through them. But no, I do think it's interesting. I mean, honestly, I'm sure it's the thinking behind it is we're trying to get people to switch platforms, but it's kind of a slap in the face if you're a loyal, you know, owner of the platform for them to turn around and then offer more for something that's a significantly older, actually, in my XR.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of...
I think by the way, so much the platform switching, it's that they can resell that XR in another country still pretty competitively compared to the Pixels.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of, you know, selling one soul to the carrier, when I switched, when I traded in my, or actually haven't gotten yet, when I trade in my Apple iPhone 14 Pro, which is last year's model, for the 15 Pro, which is something I've never done before, by the way. I've never bought a new iPhone just 1 year after the previous one. It's the first time. You know, they offered $1,000 trade-in. I hope they honor it. But in addition to that, they said they being AT&T, said, hey, you've got a really old plan. And yes, I do. And it's pretty cheap. So, you know, you're going to have to go to our basic unlimited versus unlimited. You know, I'm not sure the difference is. You need to go to our basic unlimited for, you know, X dollars a month more. So I said, so, you know, they are making their money on my trading, at least, because I have to now pay more per month. But I guess it's worth it because I only had like 9 gigabytes of data per month on my old plan. And it was LTE only, not 5G. So there is some benefit to upgrading my plan.
I will give credit, Ed, like I said, as a long time T-Mobile customer, it has always been one thing. Whenever we've had any time where anybody in the family is trading phones, getting a new phone, whatever the case may be, where we've gone in store, they've always taken the time to look through and say, here's what we can do. And I will, while our cost for a phone we add on may make our monthly a few dollars higher, I swear to you that almost every time they've reduced our cost minus the phone, they found some way with a plan, and we end up with great. Their customer service I've always been extremely pleased, even during the years where the coverage wasn't so great. At least I could always speak well to their service.
Oh, you want to hear my T-Mobile story and why I no longer have it?
Sure, Todd. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure.
Speaking of rants. So one day, this is many years ago, one day I was walking down the street in downtown Honolulu going to a meeting or something, and I grabbed my phone and I was going to check, you know, like email or web or something as I'm walking, and I've got no data. I've got voice, I've got text, so my phone's working, I've just got no data. So, you know, I go to the meeting, I'm kind of like, what's going on here? Did I pay my bill? Yeah, I paid my bill. You know, what's going on? And so I get back, and anyway, why would voice and text work but not data? So I get back to my office and I call up T-Mobile and they go, oh, you know, you were on a really old legacy plan and we cut you off without notifying
me. Yeah, no.
Cool. You know, no text message, no physical letter, no email, no notification at all.
Wow, that's...
No phone
that's
call.
That's weird, because if anything, at times I get a little frustrated with the over-communication from them on stuff on our end.
Yeah, so I said, yeah, you know what? Goodbye. And I think I switched that particular phone to Sprint, which had better coverage anyway. So that took care of that problem. And I was a pretty happy Sprint customer until my daughter went to a school where it had like almost no coverage.
Which it was amazing all the way up until the acquisition with the merger. I was always amazed at at points where you would have expected as a major player that there would be coverage and there wasn't coverage when it came.
Capital of Oregon in this case, by the way. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's not an important town. I don't know.
Yes, Prulins. Sprint's popularity in certain sectors, you know, you would have thought at a state capital level they would have better coverage.
One would think, and yet, and so I switched her to AT&T, you know, Yeah, great coverage there.
My favorite Sprint story.
Not a
problem. My favorite Sprint story was they came in. This was after the Nextel acquisition, and they came into the town I was living at in Massachusetts at the time. And basically did a whole dog and pony show, and did the whole nine yards, and sold the town on this whole EMS, and it would be all Nextel push to talk phones. And they at where town hall and the fire department and the police department, like, literally were all next to each other. There was zero coverage.
Yeah.
Oh, literally no coverage whatsoever.
How?
And this is in the greater Boston area. They ended up having to...
Little town.
They ended up having to put up go through a whole thing, and it was like there was all kinds of complications, threats of suits and everything else. They ended up having to put up a tower. which is not easy, especially in a more of a residential kind of scenario where you
have
a big ugly. Although I do love fake tree. I love the fake tree attempts.
The fake tree.
Oh, my gosh. I just saw that recently upstate here in a very rural community. And it just, talk about sore thumbs. I saw it on top of a hill.
Tree.
Yeah, I'm like, there's trees. That's not a tree. It doesn't even come close to looking like a tree. Stop trying to fool everybody.
Well, it's expensive, too, because up in the New England area, you got to repaint the leaves twice a month.
No, just pieces of the tower fall off in October.
No, it rusts around, you know, August, September during the rainy season.
Oh,
boy. Yeah. And tower maintenance is a whole other story, but we won't go into that. I've heard many a story about tower maintenance. Yeah, so Sven, you got a Pixel Fold, so you got no interest in it. I got a 7A, so I've got no interest in it. So I guess
if I hadn't got the Fold, I probably would have got the Pro.
Yeah.
Pixel 8 Pro, but this thing's just too new and too expensive to trade it in. And
yeah.
That at like 6 months or something.
Yeah, I may have to contact Google pretty soon because I'm just kinda annoyed. I have not gotten my OS 14 update for my, 6 month old phone, something like that.
Yeah, I think T-Mobile still has the oldest network. I think they still have 2G. I think they just announced they're going to start shutting it down.
Oh, wow. It's still on?
Yeah, I think they still use it in some parts, like for like meters. A lot of meters.
Oh.
Like third-party radio sales for like smaller, older technology.
Yes,
they finally got the SECs.
Yeah, it wasn't T-Mobile. I think Verizon shut down their 2G network in Honolulu maybe a year and a half ago. And it turned out that all the parking meters that the city runs were on that 2G network, and they didn't get the memo. And so all the parking meters stopped working. It was awesome.
Yeah, so there's a bit of lead time. They gave people, I think April 2nd, 2024, they're going to shut up 2G.
Oh, ours is already, Verizon's already shut down. I think they gave plenty of notice. It's just the city and county just didn't notice. Notice the notice. So to speak. All right, Sven's got a rant. Go for it, Sven. Rant away.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Yeah. So I don't know how you guys feel about mail and calendar on Windows. I love the stuff. Not so much for, I use Outlook and daily at work. Now, I love it. But when I'm at home and I'm an 11-inch tablet, Outlook is just a little overkill. I love to be able to use mail because has a consolidated inbox so I can see all the stupid messages I get, and it's just a little quick, swipe it to the right and it's gone. It's the way I've got it set up, so I can triage my mail in seconds out of, six, seven different accounts. And Microsoft's been pushing their new and improved Outlook, which is not Outlook, it's Outlook Lite something, whatever. I don't know what they call it. They have a great naming problem where they may have a dozen different products, same thing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But
going back 20 years ago, thinking about that.
Here this week, I'd open up mail. I punch, I'm sitting there on the couch and I hit the little mail icon in the taskbar, and it pops up mail just long enough to remind me that it's there, and then it was straight into the new Outlook. And I thought, oh, crap, they've changed it. I come up to my, 49-inch monitor upstairs, and mail is still there. So I don't know what the heck happened there. So I tried to play with Outlook for a while, and it doesn't work with Gmail, and it doesn't let you swipe stuff, so it's not touch-friendly on a tablet. It doesn't have integrated mailboxes, and I got upset at it today, and I said, I'm just going to look for it, and if it happens, it happens. I deleted new Outlook, and that's what's in the list as new Outlook. I deleted it, and for a couple of minutes there, I tried to open up mail, and it wouldn't open. I said, darn, it's gone altogether, and then all of a sudden, it came back, so I've got mail back, but I know its time is limited, mm-hmm. and I'm just upset about it, because I like it.
Ben, how dare you have your own productivity that you would like to maintain when Microsoft says they've got a better idea for you?
That is
how dare you know yourself better than they do.
Yes.
I think you do.
Yeah, I agree. How dare you, Swin?
Yeah, it is very frustrating that Microsoft has lately gone that route where things just disappear or reappear or don't work right, and especially when you lose features. They've become an expert at that lately.
Well, I'm more amazed that we went from the hell that was Windows 8, where we got an attempt to tabletize absolutely everything in the universe, to a total now going to the who needs a touch friendly screen for anything. I just don't get it. And losing features is bad enough, but the amount of advertising that is now permeating Windows 11 in various spaces, my search bar shouldn't be showing me, ads constantly for things. And it's just push and notifications pushing me to try different things that I have no interest in. It's truly marketing fluff. That's where I get even more frustrated by it. It's an operating system. It shouldn't be your own friggin' marketing hand, at the OS level. And it just, I get so tired. At times I just turn away. I mean, right now I'm talking to you on my Pixel Book. Yeah, I'm using a Chromebook at this moment just because I get so frustrated at times by like working and getting every third notification being something that has nothing to do with notifications and everything to do with marketing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You mean you don't get any advertising in your global search?
Oh, I know. In my Google search? Yeah, of course I do. But that's when I'm going to do a search. A notification that shows up in the notification bar. It's like, wait a second.
The start bar, you do a search for something and get ads from.
I'm waiting for the point where when I go to open up any application, I first have to watch an ad before I can open it up. That's the way it's starting to feel.
Oh, no, don't get me started with that.
Yeah. Okay, and so Steve's talking. Steve, your grape is next.
Oh, yeah. Look, this is now going to do... Yeah, they've raised their prices because they want to start doing ads like everybody else. I'm sure Netflix is going to probably go down the same boat now, and I'm probably just going to cancel. I'm just like, it's like, I can't see the price that their content's not new enough. I'll just binge it once a month. Like, every 3 months, I'll do a quarterly, just get it for a month. I mean, it'll still be cheaper otherwise. I don't see them, like, doubling the price is going to be a way to keep me as a customer. It's like, ridiculous.
No. Yeah, everybody's raising their prices. We're adding commercials. In fact, I think I read somewhere that Amazon Prime is going to start charging for Amazon Prime Video.
Yes.
Commercial-free Amazon Prime Video.
They're going to do it too, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only thing about, and you're right, it's frustrating as they keep raising the prices. The only problem I have is, I hate to say it, the most heavily used bundle I have, it's the Disney Plus bundle, and it's got nothing to do with Disney Plus. It's
ESPN.
ESPN and Hulu, with now that they've got tied with ESPN and the NHL package that they signed, we're a hockey household here, and for years, I used to have to pay for the center ice package to get like all the games. It gets so heavily used. It's ridiculous. I think that's the only reason why. It's funny. I would probably say of all the services we have, that is probably the most we get bang for the buck is that bundle. So, but I agree. It's like everybody's nickel and diming at this point, you know, and it was,
yeah.
Be careful what you ask for all those years that we all said, geez, I can't wait for the day when cable gets unbundled and you'll be able to get these separate stream. You know, you'll be all a la carte and we'll be able to do.
Oh, I never wanted that. I knew it'd be too expensive.
Well, my problem always was that the way cable providers intentionally built their bundles so that they would cover the services, they would include the services that they knew nobody wanted, but they'd be able to make money.
Right.
You know, to get what I wanted for cable, I basically had to have everything. Their bundling was ridiculous. But now we go to the other extreme where, okay, now I've got all these other things. And if I want no commercials, I got to tack on this and that. Yeah, it's you can't win. You can't, the way to win is to say, I'm only going to watch so much anymore, you know, and make a sacrifice. Otherwise, you're just, it's just a new wrinkle on an old theme. You know, and you're back, you feel like you're back in the same boat. And that's kind of the way I feel about these services now. For a while.
I think it'd be a great business model for a new company. I mean, call a subscription like manager or something like that. You know, you subscribe to a service and say, I only want these subscriptions for this period of time, or I have a certain amount of money I want to spend per month. And these are the ones I want to choose from. And then you go every month and you switch it up, you know, and you binge watch.
Right. The ideal bundling would be, you know, if a cable provider, in my opinion, wanted to be successful, would say, okay, pick, you know, the combo thing where you're saying you could pick three from this group, two from this group, you know, and be able to mix and match. And if you pick more, you get better.
Like the Chinese menu sort of thing.
But none of them want to do that because they have certain albatrosses for services that they have to, because of who they deal with, that they want to make sure get included in them and all these things. And then they charge you extra for. I can remember trying to get bundles where there were two things that I wanted in the bundle, but the only way I could get it was to take on like 10 things, you know, 10 channels. And it was like, I just want these two. Well, you're going to have to take the other eight and it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. It's still what we have right now in my household is still significantly less than what we were paying for getting what we wanted from a cable provider. It's not cheap, but it's still significantly less than what we were paying.
You also do a YouTube TV.
I do
the Sunday Ticket.
Oh, yeah. Really? That's
expensive. We use YouTube TV because it covers so much of what we watch. But again, compare that to, while you think that's expensive, to get those kind of channels as a basic package, because YouTube TV also includes local TV channels. To get that here in my neck of the woods, I would be paying probably, I'd say maybe 50 to 60% more.
Wow.
So it's still, to start out with that is still cheaper. And the fact that it's nice in the sense that it's not limited to needing my cable box. And, you know, whether I watch it on a laptop or I watch it on a TV or I watch it on my phone, I get the same channels. You know, which is nice too. Whatever you have in the package with those. And don't get me wrong, I can speak well to, we chose YouTube TV because it provided what met our needs most. But I can speak well to Fubo TV was another service we had for a while. The only problem we had was we realized we lost Time Warner channels, which meant that we lost, again, we're a sports family, and for a network that for a service that
claims to be the best for sports, they drop TBS and TNT, which means you lose a lot of baseball, a lot of basketball, and a lot of hockey now. And I don't know how they can continue to say, we're the sports package for streaming. I haven't used any of the other ones, just because I'd look at, like I said, in looking at them to get what I'd want. Either I couldn't get it, or it would be even more expensive than YouTube TV. But yeah, we do that, and we still have some of the other services too, obviously, that we use. But all in all, like I said, in spite of all of that, I still pay far less than I did for what I when I wanted with my my cable plan. It was crazy to get that.
Well, you got to consider, with all the streaming services, you still got to have the internet service to stream them over.
Yep.
So, you know, whoever you're paying that for,
I think you're going to see that get, I mean, unfortunately, in so many parts of this country, it's a monopoly, you know, where you basically have one provider in your neighborhood and that's it. Exactly. Yeah. I think you're going to see, and I don't say this.
We have a half a dozen crappy ones that Xfinity is using as, hey, we're not a monopoly. You got seven different choices, at 56K DSL.
I think it's going to be interesting to see. It's funny. I'm seeing, I think it's interesting how many cities and even towns are starting to take control of their fiber. And being the provider that people ride on. And that's interesting because that changes the game completely. When a provider owns the fiber, obviously, like I said, they're going to provide you with the best service, and the seven crappy ones either are on copper because it's a legacy, or they're probably buying it from the guy who owns it, and it's being controlled. Yeah. But,
then the city town can make money off of it too.
There are a lot of towns, cities and towns that are now looking at treating it as a utility they're treating it like your other utilities.
Lord knows we're all,
and then it's Lord, you know, low bidder.
Lord knows we're all thrilled with our utilities. Great prices for electric and water and.
All right. So we're over an hour. So John has a rant.
I just want to say one last thing. It's just fortunate that the streaming services haven't figured out how to collect tips after you watch something.
Like Uber?
Everybody else has figured out that you have to tip.
They just raise prices. That's their tip.
You see, I start seeing that now. That's why.
Yeah. All righty.
Listen to this podcast.
So MobileViews 478. Whole group of people. Steve Hughes, thank you. Sven Johansson, Don Sorsinelli, and of course the good Dr. John Westfall. And we will talk to you next time.